You know what? I am going to read this for someone. This is not what I'm ministering at all, okay? I kind of wish it was, but it's not. But it's for someone, and I just need to give it to you. Psalms 1, and I was totally instructed by the Spirit last night to bring this. And I just want to encourage you with this. And you're very, very familiar with Psalms chapter 1. But I have to read the first part so I can get down to where I want to go. So Psalms 1, if you're looking in your Bibles, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I just want to remind you, when you're out at your job and you're around other people, be careful who you take counsel from. I don't know who that's for, but the Lord just wants me as your pastor to tell you, be careful who you take counsel from. Don't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit there and talk with them about what they shouldn't be talking about. Just cut it off. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This, you know, if you love Jesus, you're not going to do those things. He said, your delight is in God's word and in his house. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, here's what I wanted to bring you. He, the one that meditates in the word and does not do those things, life is much easier for you if you don't sit in the seat of the scornful and you don't take instruction from the ungodly. Then he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So what I wanted to tell you, when a tree is planted by water, the roots go very, very deep. And that tree is so strong. I mean, it's rugged strong. And it stands there planted by that river of water, and it just goes deep. And then he says this. This is what I want you to know for someone. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. You have a certain amount of fruit that you must bring forth in your season. There is a season for you, and you can't get discouraged when you get to thinking, it's not my season. But there is a season for you, and God said, I want you to stay by the river. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a river flowing in this house. There just is. There always has been. 2.5 decades ago, the Lord sent me home. I had no pattern. No one in my family pastored anything. So I don't have this heritage of pastors behind me. Okay, so I listened to the word of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Mike, you were on the board then, and he can verify what I'm saying. We built this house on budget in 6 months. I mean, right on time, right on schedule, right on budget. Without any schism at all. God's hand of favor was upon the entire thing. And the river has continued to flow. And so we have not taken counsel from the ungodly. We have not sit where other people sit. I have not run off to other pastors to see what I ought to do when we're in trouble. We seek the Holy Spirit to go to you. And so I just want to tell you today that I believe you're in a good place. But wherever you are, I want to tell you, you will bring forth fruit in your season. Somebody say, I have a season, and I will bring forth my fruit right on time. Do you believe that? All right, somebody needs to take that, because that's not what I'm preaching, but I just need to bring that to you today. Okay, so it was Thursday night, and Thanksgiving was over. And I had my family to my home, and we didn't have as many people as we usually do this year. A lot of the kids had moved away. Linda's family didn't make it. And it's all my siblings and their kids. So there's always a whole bunch of us. But anyway, it was just such a wonderful day. We had so much fun. So it was all over, and, you know, you're whipped after that, whether you have it at your house or somebody else's. So I went to bed that night thanking God for everything. And, of course, we had good prayer. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, this was our time of thanksgiving. And we worship you. We thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for my family. Thank you for everything you've given. And, Lord, now we're between Thanksgiving and worship and Christmas. And now we're right in between Christmas. And I've heard pastors say that this is the most awkward Sunday. No, why would it be awkward? It's not an awkward Sunday. It is in between. And so it was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I woke up. And I had gone to bed thinking along those lines. And it just came to me to talk to them about the in-between. The in-between. And see, that is rough for us. Because when you are in between, when you get in between your prayer request and what you've been praying, and the answer, oh boy, is that awkward? Is that strange? It's very difficult. You're praying and praying and praying and seeking God, and you don't have the answer yet. So you're right in the middle. So you're in between prayer request and answer. And All through the Old Testament, all through the Bible, all through your lives and mine, we have been between prophecies and fulfillment. Prophecy and fulfillment. And we're right here, stuck in the middle right now. We're between the prophetic utterance that Jesus is going to return and nothing's happened. And yet he's going to, because he came the first time, he was born the first time. And then he sent the Holy Spirit into the upper room. And all of those people were where we are right now. They were waiting on him and they were in the in-between. And it feels like you're stuck when you're in between what you're praying for and what you're waiting on. And we've been in waiting. I mean, you're either waiting on a promise or you're waiting on a prayer to be answered or you're waiting on a prophetic utterance. Okay? So this is, I could have just went on, but these Bible characters begin to come. That's why I'm not going to the Word, because most of these stories are so familiar to you. And if you're new in the Lord and they're not, you know, not familiar to you, well, see me after church. Come by this week and I'll show you the stories in the Old Testament and the New. But Abraham had a direct word from God, and God said, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby in your old age. And Abraham took that word and he believed it because he knew God. In fact, his faith was counted to him for righteousness because he was so in love with God and he so believed his word. But Sarah was back in the tent doing some work and Sarah laughed. And God sent the angel of the Lord and he said, Sarah, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. And the angel of the Lord, which was really God himself, he said, oh, no, you laughed because I heard you. I mean, it's pretty much just like that in the King James Version. No, you did laugh because I heard you. So here's the thing. Okay, they got the promise. They had a prophecy. And he said, Abraham, come outside with me and look up. And Abraham looks up and the sky is just painted with stars, you know, the blackness just painted with stars. And he looks up and he said, can you count those stars? And Abram says, oh, Lord, no, I can't count those stars. And he said, well, that's how many babies you're going to have. What? Oh, yeah, you're going to have them like the sand of the sea. Well, here they are. They got this big old prophecy. Year one, year two, year three, year four, 15 years go by and they have nothing. God even changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. And Sarah's like, are you kidding me? Abraham, we're way up in our 90s. You think we're really going to have a baby? Look at my body and look at yours. We're just old. But you know what? It really wasn't even about being old. She was barren. I mean, she couldn't have children. She's up in her 90s. She's never had one. And so they were right in between. And you know what they did? You know what Sarah did? Sarah got tired of waiting on it. And she created an Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? It means a mess. Ishmael is the nation of the Arabs, and you know, they're rowdy people. But other than that, I just want to bring it home to us today. You will create a mess when you get tired of waiting on God. Sarah was a little girl. We lived over on Whitechapel, and she wanted a dog so bad. She wanted a dog. I said, honey, just wait. Let's pray, and God will send us the dog. Let's pray so that we get the right one, because I don't like them anyway. So if we're going to have one, may as well be the right one. Well, she gets this little black dog with this long, ugly tail. Mom, look how cute he is. Well, this little dog, I said, honey, are you? I don't know if that's it. No, I think it is, Mom. Look how he just likes, you know, he likes us. He's wiggling his tail. Well, he started running through the neighborhood, and he went into the garages of our neighbors and would get a shoe. He had this fetish with shoes, and he would bring one shoe back and put it in our garage. And he kept bringing one shoe. Man, we just had a garage full of one shoe, and I didn't know who all these shoes belonged to. And so one day this man came over to the house, and I said, hi, I don't think we've met. He goes, no, but I've sure met that dog of yours. I said, well, he's not mine. Whose is he? He lives at this house. Oh, he's hers. So I said, honey, we got to get rid of that dog. Okay, Mom. So she gets rid of the dog. I don't even know what you did with that dog. Well, then there was another dog. Oh, don't worry, honey. I'm not going to give you all the dog stories. But we get this ugly little mangy thing. And it wasn't like that. And so this little dog comes in. And, you know, we lived on the road most of the time. And we got to come home. And so, you know, you wore nicer clothes out there on the road. And so I had the silver purse and silver shoes to match. And that little dog just, we came home one day, and that dog had chewed up my purse and those brand new shoes, and they had cost me something, and chewed the whole thing up. I'm like, another dog done gone. You got to get rid of that dog now. So anyway, I'm just telling you, if you rush it, I know that's a funny little story, but Sarah created a mess. She says, Abraham, go lay down with my servant girl and get that baby, pray tell. It's been 20 years. We haven't heard a word from God. Maybe, you know, he knows I'm barren, but go to her. Well, you know the story. They have a baby, and God said, no, Abraham, that wasn't it. That was not the deal. I told you it was going to be you and Sarah. Well, sure enough, they do get an Isaac, so they finally get the baby. And now look, you and I, here we are, the sand of the sea. You know, we're all Abraham's kids. I mean, we're still coming. He never lived to see it. But it happened. If God says it, it's going to come to you. But don't discourage in waiting. Now, I wasn't going to talk that long about each one of these, or we'll never get out of here today. But she got tired, and she made a mess. And I do want to say this. You know, some in this room right now, and I've done it myself, and I'm out now. Some may be in debt up to here. You know why? Because you got tired of waiting on God. You asked him to give you a car that would run and help you to get it, and you just went over to the bank and did something else. We can make a real mess for ourselves. And then the people of Israel, think on them. They got tired of waiting on Moses. Moses went up to the mount to get their inheritance. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights. And they're down there dealing with his assistant, who is his brother Aaron. And they're like, Aaron, we don't even know what's happened to Moses. He may be dead. Look, if the man Moses told you, I'm going up to talk with God and I'll be back, you could take old Moses' word. He lived and walked and talked with God. And the Bible says he talked with God like a man talks to a friend face to face. So his word was good. And they knew his word was good because they had walked through the wilderness with him. And they go, Aaron, we don't know what happened to him. He may not even come back. And they started pulling out their earrings and nose rings and lip rings and eye rings. Sounds like 2000, don't it? They just started taking them all out and said, melt them all down, Aaron. Aaron knew better. But see, people can wear you down. Because you get tired of, if you get tired of waiting on God and you talk to somebody else that will talk to you, they get tired of waiting on God with you, and pretty soon you're all messed up. So they got this little calf, and Aaron created a calf with all their meltdown jewelry and stuff. And they're down there dancing around this calf saying, "Oh, thank you for bringing us through the wilderness." Poor old Moses walks down the mountain, and he's got two tablets, the Ten Commandments. And he first thinks they're having a party and they're celebrating. They're saying, "Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for the law. Thank you for our inheritance." And he got closer and he said, "God, they're just worshiping you and singing." God said, "No, Moses. Mm-mm. They're not worshiping me. They're dancing around a golden calf. And I'm going to kill them all." And Moses stood, said, "God, please, please don't kill them all." And he said, "What happened, Aaron?" He said, I don't know. "I don't know, Moses." He said, "I just threw all their jewelry into the fire and out popped this calf." That's exactly what the old King James says, "out popped this calf," or "out came this calf." And so, see, now they've created an idol. And this is what's wrong with the world today. They're creating their own idols. They don't know what to do. They're hungry for something. They've got this itch on the inside of them, and their cravings and their cravings, and they don't know what it is, and it's Jesus and it's God, and they don't know what to do about it. And so they create these idols. They create an idol. It might be a woman's body. It might be a man's body. It might be whatever it is, or after money, but something to satisfy them, because they are not satisfied in their soul. Years ago on the road, we used to sing, "Only Jesus can satisfy your soul." And if your soul is not satisfied, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're in a heap of trouble. I mean, you're just in a mess. And so you'll either create a mess or you'll create an idol. But let me go to some good news here. The in-between, I just talking to you about being in between, because it's rough, folks. I know it is. I've been in between before, in between the thing you're praying for, and it seems like it just seems like that there's always a place for us to be in between. You're needing this or that, or you're waiting on this promise or that. But Elijah had an in between. Remember that one? Elijah's in between. He was running. I mean, he stood before 400 prophets of Baal, those demonic gods, those evil spirits. He stood there alone, and Jezebel was forever chasing him. And Ahab didn't like him either. And now they're in a drought, serious drought. And Elijah's praying for two things. He's praying for rain, and there is none. He's praying for rain, but there's a drought, and the dirt is cracking. I mean, it's like Dust Bowl in Oklahoma. It's just dry, dusty dirt, nothing. And he's right in between. But you know what he did? He just kept looking. "God, I'm praying. I'm praying for rain. I'm praying for rain. I know it's coming. I know it's coming." He just kept saying, "Son, that little S servant, go out and see if you see a cloud." You know that story. So he kept going out, nothing, nothing, nothing. He was right in between his prayer and his answer, and the rain finally came. So he got the rain, and then this evil spirit of Jezebel, she said, "After what you did to those prophets of Baal, I'm going to have your head by this time tomorrow." And that poor man was so worn out, he just ran out and sat under a tree and said, "Oh God, I wish I could die. I just wish I was never born." And with all of that said, he went back and met with God, and he loved him so much. And he met with God, and he said, "God, that spirit, that woman is evil. And she has chased me, and that Ahab, he is evil. They've got demonic spirits working in them." And God said, "By this time tomorrow, she won't have you. You will have her. She'll be dead, and the dogs will be licking up her blood." Elijah didn't, listen. Elijah didn't make a mess, and he didn't make an idol. As hard as life was for Elijah, oh, he hid in caves too. And as hard as it was for him, you know what? He didn't make a mess, and he didn't make an idol. But I'll tell you what he got. He got rain. The Bible says it rained for 3.5 years. And he also got a dead Jezebel. She fell down just like God said. He prophesied. In fact, Elijah told her, he said, oh, no, baby. Tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And her eunuchs literally pushed her off a wall. And she fell down, I hate to say it like this, and splattered. Richard, isn't that awful for a woman to tell you that kind of story? And she just fell apart, and the dogs came and licked up her blood. That's the way it went. So he got what he prayed for, but still the man of God, the prophet, he had to stand right between them, Laura. He had to stand between his prayer and his answer. And you guys, that's a hard place for us. You've been there. I've been there. It's difficult. Sometimes it even gets scary while you're standing in that place. And then poor old David. We love David, man. We love to read his writings in the Psalms. I started out with one of his Psalms and talked about it. You know, now and then, you can hardly preach a sermon without going to a Psalm now and then. Poor David, hiding in a cave all the time. He was anointed to be king when he was a baby down at Bethlehem. He was anointed the second time at Hebron. He was anointed again by Samuel at his father's house. He had been anointed to be king 3 times. And yet there was a man, a tall, good-looking man named Saul, who was king, and he's not even supposed to be the king. And there he is. And he's chasing this poor little guy into caves, shooting javelins at him, trying to kill him and jealous of him. And between David's prophecy, you're going to be the king, and he was anointed. See, you were dedicated from babies. You were baptized. And God has spoken things to you, and they're in your heart. And he spoke things to you in his word. And 1 Samuel, God said to Samuel, Samuel, listen to this. Your gentleness has made you great. Your gentleness has made you great. And Samuel knew that, and he became the best prophet. But see, you have prophecies given to you. You're waiting on a prophecy or to be fulfilled or a prayer. You know, these things are in you. And you know it. And you know that you have some greatness in you. But you would, it's so, listen, it's way beyond and it's much bigger than anything you can accomplish. So it would be really kind of embarrassing for you to share that with anyone. You don't even tell it. You don't even tell it because you know, like Samuel, there's something great in you. David was hiding in that cave, but he always went back, no, God, I was anointed. I was anointed and appointed. And you're anointed and appointed from things. And so what did David do? What did David do when he was in between? He prayed and he sang. He just sang songs. He prayed and he sang. And what happened? He was here and then he was in between. He was literally stuck in between. Literally stuck in caves, in darkness. I think it was Dake's Bible that has a little historical fact about one of the caves David hid in. And he had been in that cave so long that spider webs grew over the edges of the opening of that cave. That's how long he was in between. I mean, stuck. You're talking about being stuck. Some of you feel stuck this morning in between. You're not. Now, he prayed and he sang. So I'm just giving you some hints. Elijah kept praying and he kept looking. David prayed and he sang. So you keep singing songs every day, even though you feel like it's doing nothing. And what happened to David? He became the king. He became the king of Israel. Nothing could stop it. Not one thing could stop David from becoming king because God said he was going to be. Nothing could stop it, Lynn, nothing. Because he was appointed and anointed, and nothing can stop you either. Mary was in between. God said, Mary. She says, Lord, you have condescended to a little woman of low estate. And he said, but Mary, my Holy Spirit has overshadowed you. And you're going to give birth to the Messiah, my only son. Can you imagine how, you know, some say she was 14, some say 16, some have even said 12. I don't know which one to believe, but she was a young woman. And now she's heard this word. And the way that angel talked to her, she was like conceiving right then when he was there with her talking, you know. It wasn't very long, man. She's having a baby. But the Bible says, she said, I take every word you say to me. I believe the word that you have spoken to me today. So the thing that you have in you, just hold on to it and believe it and do not let that go. Abraham, the father of many nations at 99, well, that's what he did. That's what happened. David became king, and Mary became the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I serve today. Hallelujah. Why? Because she believed. Don't you dare quit believing. And don't let doubt rise up in you, because doubt will try to take over. And then it turns into unbelief, and then you got trouble. Doubt. See, when you doubt, you're just saying, I just wonder if. Sometimes even my little grandchildren will say, Nana, you know, I believe that the Bible is God's word, but what if it's not? See, those little minds are already, doubt begins to come. So doubt is not a big deal, but if you keep thinking on the doubt, guess what's going to happen? It'll turn into unbelief. So you just can't go there. All right, talk a bit about Mary and Martha. Okay, Mary and Martha, they sent for Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll come down there. And he didn't come, and their brother died, and he was dead for 4 days. Well, what did they do during that 4 days? Martha got totally wiped out of her head, discouraged. And if you're discouraged this morning, let me tell you what Martha did. Bless her heart. Martha sees Jesus coming to the house finally. Now, she jumped all over him. She got all mad at him. And she said, hey, Jesus, if you'd have been here, if. And what happened? Her brother was raised alive. What happened? She went to Jesus and said, oh, Lord, I know you can't. I know you're the resurrection. Sure you can. So she wound up believing anyway. It's okay to whine even. But don't whine too long, because you're a tree planted by the living water, and your roots, don't you dare forget it. No matter what the devil tells you, don't you forget that your roots go so deep. Your roots go deep into the word of the Lord, and they receive their brother back from the dead. The disciples, oh my goodness, I'm glad I wasn't born in this day. The disciples had followed Jesus those 3.5 years. And then he, the miracle worker, the way maker, the light in the darkness, died. Not only died, but was crucified, brutally murdered, slaughtered like a lamb. And the disciples were beside themselves. Those men on the way to Damascus, we have a picture of them out there on the wall. They were walking along, Jesus walking behind them, and he says, what are you talking about? And they're saying, don't you know? Are you a stranger in town? We followed the Messiah around, and we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was. See, this is what happens. The old phrase is, that's what happens when you start thinking too much. Well, they kept thinking, if he was everything we thought he was, he wouldn't have died. Well, he was everything they thought he was. And he said, I'll be back in 3 days. Listen. And they were only caught between 3 days. between his death and the resurrection. 3 days was all. You don't know how long you're going to be caught in between. It may not be long at all. And your miracle happens, and Jesus was raised from the dead. Okay, we'll just... And that was... Oh, they were so confused. So when you get in between, at times, you just get totally confused. It's okay to get confused, but don't stay there very long. Just don't stay there. Get to Jesus. Get to the cross. Get there. But don't stay confused. You hold tightly to what he told you. They held tight. They held on tight to his word. He said, in 3 days, I'll raise my body up. And he did. I'm almost done. And then the New Testament saints, think about them. My goodness, Jesus left them and they weren't even in the room with the disciples. And yet they knew, they heard he would raise from the dead. But Jesus told them when he was going away, he said, now you go down to Jerusalem and you wait there, and I will send you the promise of my Father, and he will send you the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, Acts 1:8, he'll fill you with power and you'll be a witness unto me. So they all, they're down there thinking. Oh, so they rushed up to the upper room when Jesus left. He said, go and I'll send my spirit. Well, they went up there. Day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. Four, nothing. Five, six, seven, eight, nine. 9 days, they're up there. 2 weeks, Mary's in the same room with Peter. Can you imagine that? Peter denied him. I don't even know you. And his precious little mama who watched him murder him is up there. Mary Magdalene's there and Thomas, doubting Thomas, is there. That was one bunch of people. And yet, they're stuck in between the promise, the prophecy, and the answer. They're stuck in between what they know is right and nothing. And if I ask you this morning, how many of you are expecting something and you're seeing nothing, you'd see probably a bunch of hands go up. Nothing, Pastor. Nothing. Well, you're right in between and it's okay. Because when Jesus promises you something, you can write it down. It's going to happen. And the Holy Ghost came in. They were in between that prophecy and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came, it was like a rushing mighty wind swept through. It was like something they had never heard before. And the whole city heard it. And they rushed down there to see what that sound was. And as they rushed down there, they heard the wind, but they heard these people speaking in all these foreign languages and all of these tongues. And the disciples said, or the people outside said, aren't they all Galileans? But they're speaking our language. I'm from Turkey. They don't know how to speak like me. And they were speaking those languages. So they waited. The Bible says they waited until they received the promise. They waited until, another promise for you folks, you're in the middle, you wait until, be careful and wait or you'll get a bad black dog. Okay, she waited and she finally got the right one, a little cute little fur ball. Okay, so, I'm just telling you, just wait until. Okay, I'm almost done. Second closing. Paul said, Paul was out on the boat. Let me take it. Paul was out on the boat. They were taking him to Rome. And God says, Paul, I'm gonna send you to Rome. You're going to be tried before Caesar, so you're going to make it to Rome. And then the Bible says there was a blackout. 14 days and 14 nights. They had not, you can read this in Acts chapter 27. They had not seen the sun, the moon, or the stars. Or the stars. In 14 days and nights. Well, now they're beside themselves. And the Bible says this down about toward the end of the chapter, about 18 or so. It says, all hope that they would be saved was taken away. All hope. Now, don't ever lose your hope because, boy, that's big when you lose that. Don't ever do that. All hope that they would be saved was taken away. And Paul stood up. The man of God. And he didn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And Paul said, oh men, listen. Sound like one of my brothers. You should have listened to me. and not gone. But he said, nevertheless, we're in a bad place. So let's unload the boat. And so they threw the tackle over the boat. They unloaded. They just threw stuff off to lighten the load. And then Paul said, wait, the angel of the Lord says, not one of your lives will be saved. Lost. Not one of your lives will be lost. But you must stay in the ship. If you don't stay in the ship, your lives will be lost. And the old centurion stood up and said, listen to Paul. And then he said, stay on the ship. And it says at the end of it, every one of them arrived safely to land. Every single one of them arrived safely to land on boards and pieces of the ship. They got on pieces and boards and they made it all the way to land. Boy, you're talking about being stuck. Woo! Stormy waters, black waters, yet they survived on pieces of the ship. And some of you may feel like that. I felt like that before. That God, I'm going to make it, but it's on a piece of this ship. It's just on a little board, but I made it. How many of you feel like you've made it a few times? You know, by the skin of your teeth, and there's no skin on your teeth. Ah. But we did. So when you're staying right there, know that you're going to make it, because you and I right now, we're in between the coming of the Lord, the prophetic utterance that he's coming, and him coming back. So keep looking to the miracle worker, promise keeper, way maker, light in the darkness. By God, that's who you are. Hallelujah. So just don't give up like Israel did and make an idol. Don't give up like Sarah and make a mess. Just continue to wait. Don't get tired. You'll see the rain. You'll see old Ed. You'll see old Jezebel fall down and the dogs lick up the mess. Some of you just got a Jezebel in your life. You just need to get this thing out. And God says, I'll get that demon out of there. And you use your sword of the Spirit. You pull that sword up and you cut that thing out of that thing in Jesus' name. And be free. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me today. Oh, they waited in that room for the Holy Spirit and he came. And let me tell you, it was dark on earth before Jesus came the first time. And it's dark on earth and he's coming now. And when Jesus went away, the last thing that he told them, because he knew. That they would get caught right in between. See, Jesus lived in between. That's where Jesus lived. Between his coming, his purpose, and his death and resurrection. That's where Jesus lived. And we actually live in between. But Jesus knew we would need help. And so he told his disciples and the people around. He said, I want you, as often as you do this, remember me. They had the Last Supper. And he gave them wine to drink and a piece of bread. And they took communion. Brother Danny, if you could bring me that microphone, please. I could. Too many Dannys in here. Did you all get a cup when you came to the front? If you didn't, we will have an usher bring you one. Or did everybody get one? Danny, put some in your hands and maybe just deliver those. All right, I've asked Mike and Portia, please. Watch out, Portia, you're dragging your bag. If it's got all your riches in it, bring it to me. All right. All right. I want you to hold that because, listen, what we're going to do right now is so absolutely, Sister Isabel, it was so important to Jesus. He just said, you've got to do this. And as often as you do this, remember me. Remember that my body was, to say his body was spent is just an understatement. But it was spent, all of his blood, for our healing. And I'm going to ask Sister Portia if she will take that bread and pray over it to bless you with your healing because of what Jesus did. Thank you, Portia.
Father, How can we thank you?
How can we thank you, Jesus?
You've done so much.
My Lord.
So much for us. And Father, as I was thinking about you hanging on the cross this past week, and Father, you were so kind.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you just were hung on the cross, yet you turned to the thief. And you told him, you'll be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Father, that is God. And I thank you so much for what you have paid for all of us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I ask that you bless the bread.
Yes.
And that, Father, we get, just after the message, Father, we just get a bigger picture of who you are.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Because you are Almighty God. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Let us eat together. Give him praise for his healing power in your body right now. Yeah. Wherever you're hurting, apply that healing body. Brother Mike.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you because you loved us so much that you sacrificed your body for us. You shed your blood to cleanse us from our sin.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we are fleshly people.
Mm-hmm.
And the flesh will sometimes stray and sin.
Yes.
And Father, you foresaw that. And Jesus, you shed your blood to wash us clean from our sins.
Yes, Lord.
So as we partake now, we remember that it was you who shed your blood. And we let this cup represent your shed blood. And as we partake of it, we become washed clean.
We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I pray for a new song in everybody's heart. That, Father, we will just read down through your boy David's Psalms. We'll put a little tune to it and begin to sing it in Jesus' name. We remember, Lord, how good you've been to us. Give us soul songs, even at work, even at our desk. Even in the bathrooms, Lord, wherever we go, in the offices, at school, wherever they are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the soul song. Our souls sing out to Jesus. My soul will sing out to Jesus. That washed me white as snow.
Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and your family and your home and your place of work be gracious to you. And may his countenance shine upon you all of your days and help you to make choice decisions. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Say hello to people you've not said hello to before and be a blessing. God bless you.